Hello, everybody. It's Saturday, May 23rd, 2015.
That's right.
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it is time for the Messengers Radio Show. Is everybody ready? Show your hands. Put your hands up.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's get started with a song we always start with, The Messengers by Lecrae.
Calling all the messengers, calling all the messengers, calling all the messengers. Given a call, been forgiven, risen, we living and give them our all. Rise up from your past, it's holding you down. This moment is all that matters, the future is now. How will the people know if we don't tell them? If we fail them, they stumbling in the dark, but the light is what we carry, yeah. Don't have to wonder your purpose or what you here for. Reflect his image and show the world what he cares for. And I know it's all right, 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 and you know, it's your lie, lie, lie. And we know, the time's running out. Can't wait around, cause seen plenty of hatred, death, and destruction where ignorance kills many. The blind leading the blind, we turning the blind eye. That alone is a crime, we got the power of life. I know that we make mistakes, don't let them keep you away. Mercy, love, and His grace, the reason we move ahead. Speak out.
Hello, everybody. This is Marcus Draper.
And Trisha Draper.
With the Messengers Radio Show right here on uturnradio.org. We're so glad you guys tuned in today. Or if you're listening on the archive, we're glad you're listening with us today. We got something great to talk about this whole month. We're talking about
hope.
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 Do you have hope? Do you feel like you have a hopeless situation going on in your life? Well, we're here to tell you that there is hope.
There's always hope.
That's right. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
So we've got something really, really exciting for you guys today. We've got an article we're going to read. This little, it's kind of long, but we think it's important. It's on a...
Especially with Memorial Day. It's about America.
Yes.
And let's just say we have multiple sources this week, so it may be a little different than what our regular shows are, but they all have the same basis, and that's hope. Hope is the thing that keeps us moving forward. If we don't have hope, then we stay in the same place.
Yeah. And it's like water that doesn't move, like stagnant water.
Yeah, you get stagnant.
And you start getting all those flies and mosquitoes gathering around you, with all that sickness and everything. You know, you don't want to stay stagnant.
No, it's not good. Especially the way you just said it. It's nasty.
trying to paint a picture here.
So in order to have a life, a God-given life, you must have hope. You have to. You believe when you're saved. You believe that. And then you have hope that you'll have a personal relationship with God. And you believe and have hope that, in fact, you will live eternally with your Savior. So let's look into some of the different faces of hope.
All right.
First of all, like he said, we're going to read an article.
Written by Joyce Meyer's husband, Dave Myers.
Dave Meyer. We've talked about Joyce on the show before. Mm-hmm. She is really one of the people I look up to. She is a teacher, and if you don't know who she is, look her up on the internet. She has some amazing teachings.
Great, not just on the internet, but also on radio or TV.
Yeah, she has TV shows and radio. She has lots of books out there too. Yeah. She's a really good person to learn from new believers to mature Christians. Pretty good.
Big conglomerate in there.
Anyway, so this is by Dave Meyer, her husband, and it's called God's Plan for America's Comeback.
Now, this is a little long, so I want you guys to get ready. Put your listening ears on, but we think it's important.
It is, and especially for Memorial Day. This talks about a lot about America and mm-hmm. what we're about, so hang on 1 second.
You take a drink of water?
Yeah, really?
Wet your whistle, because it's going to be a little bit. Oh, you're getting cold. Oh, she's putting her jacket on, everybody. So everybody that can't see, she's putting her jacket on.
I'm glad they can't see me. All right, so God's plan for America. Although many people are unaware of it, Satan has a plan for America. He wants us to forget our godly heritage and slowly erase our rich biblical foundation. We see the signs everywhere. God and prayer have been removed from schools and history books. God has been removed from our government, except during times of emergency like September 11th. That's when everybody gets back to that.
And that's what's interesting, because we saw so many people coming to church
right
after that.
Yeah.
And then they just faded away. And we talked about that a while back. You know, we talked that because pastors were not giving a salvation message. They were given, you know.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know, just we'll get back to it. So, anyway. So our Constitution has also been reinterpreted and rewritten to change our foundation, our founder's original content. To take our moral temperature, all you have to do is turn on the television. Our society celebrates whatever they think is right, and sin is no longer called sin. So here's God's four-step recovery plan. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require the necessity of my face." I think this is from the Amplified, and that's why some of those words are in there. But turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. So God gives us four specific things to do: humble, pray, seek, and turn. This is our part of the process. As we do these things, then God will do his part and hear, forgive, and heal. But until we do our part, God will not do his part. The key word in this entire verse is then. It makes it clear that our part must be fulfilled before God's plan can be initiated. Our part involves true humility and repentance. We can pray for restoration. However, restoration can't come until there's revival. And revival can't come until there's responsibility. And responsibility can't come until there's repentance. And repentance can't come until we remember. Mm-hmm. So it's like all these things that we want, we have to go through steps. You know, we have to go out there and do these things and take responsibility and own up to everything.
Right.
We can't just poof and it's all done, you know. It would be nice if that happened, but that's not how God works.
Right.
We must remember who we are, where we come from, and why it's important to be accountable for what God's given us through our founding fathers. We must discover things like, how was our government formed? What price was paid for our liberty, and who paid it? What role did God play in the lives of our founding fathers? What responsibilities did our founders give us? The Bible says wisdom comes from two sources, the Word of God and life's experiences, or history. If we choose to forget the past, then we lose the wisdom of the past, the wisdom that comes at a great price. If we forget, then history will inevitably repeat itself and will once again pay a tremendous price. So you don't learn your lesson. You're going to do it again the hard way.
It's like the Israelites, 40 years in the desert.
40 years.
When it could have been
an 11-day journey.
It's crazy.
So revival or rescue. On May 7th, millions of America will observe the 64th annual National Day of Prayer. And we did that.
Yes.
Marcus and I went up to our county courthouse.
We met Quint Burks up there.
Yes.
And he was leading the prayer up there, which was really neat.
Mm-hmm. He is one of the...
He has a show on the radio
mm-hmm. station here.
Yeah. And then it was interesting because that particular day, tornadoes were supposed to be flying around,
mm-hmm.
heavy rain, supposed to be some hail, strong winds.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned the TV on to look at the weather, and we saw the map. We placed our hands on the television, and we rebuked it in Jesus' name. We told that we reminded that that storm who we are in Christ.
That we have the authority.
Right. And we you know what? The rain stopped, didn't it?
It did.
And there was no tornadoes. Mm-mm. There was no hail. There was no hard, strong winds.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up and we prayed at the courthouse. Amen.
That's right. And it rained at the beginning, and then it stopped. And there were several people out there with us. We had about six other couples, I think, out there with us. And so it wasn't the turnout that it could have been, but all the important people were there. So
everybody that needed to be there was there.
That's right. And we were glad to be with them.
Yes.
So that was on May 7th, and that was one thing we can do. But here's something. We still have Memorial Day coming up. And this is another chance for us to look back at our country and remember what the people have done to get us to where we are. So I believe a lot of people simply want God to rescue this nation, to solve our problems without requiring any action on our part. However, Revival for America includes taking responsibility to do what God shows us to help preserve what our forefathers have obtained. In 1787, as Benjamin Franklin excited the Constitutional Convention, sorry, I didn't get that drink of water, a woman shouted from the crowd, "Sir, what have you given us?" Franklin famously responded, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it."
Yes. And what's really cool, what I just, you know, while you're taking that drink, Memorial Day, if you think about the word memorial, the root word there is memory.
Memory.
So we need to remember these, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did our founding fathers found this country on?
Mm-hmm.
Do we not want to remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what we're going to talk about right here.
So what did he mean? A republic means rule of law, our constitution. This form of government offers the very greatest liberties and freedom, but it also requires the most responsibility, moral virtue, and maintenance to keep it intact. And that's where people have gone south on that one.
Right.
America has gone from a strong, godly nation ready to fight for our liberties and moral principles to one that's complacent, allowing ungodliness to creep in little by little. And now it's more by more.
Right.
It's getting so prevalent that it's even...
Well, it's getting wider and wider. Why do you think there's a stairway to heaven, yet there's a highway to hell?
Oh, that's good.
The highway to hell is much wider.
Wider. Mm-hmm.
But the stairway to heaven is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to take the narrow path, is what the word says.
Yes.
So the narrow path would be that stairway to heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Just a little tidbit I remembered from a while back.
Yeah, that's really cool. I hadn't thought of that. So evil doesn't just happen overnight. It happens slowly over time as we fail to fulfill our responsibilities. Not doing what needs to be done in the face of evil encourages its existence and growth. So we're encouraging evil to grow. Evil is only denied existence by wise action, and wise action is our responsibility.
Right.
As Christians, the choice is up to us. We can either stand up and fight or lay down entirely. But we can't stay the same and expect the direction of our country to change. And this is something that God has really laid on my heart. Part of what he's been telling me is to unite the Christians and fight for our country.
Yeah.
A lot of people have just given up on America, and I don't want to do that. I think we need to stand up for our country, and we can see a big change. Anyway, so it's worth fighting for. God is waiting for the body of Christ in America to become a courageous body, a group who will stand up and do what he is asking us to do. This is the true meaning of a patriot. It involves becoming educated about our past, then taking action for our future. The Lord wants to use our nation, our resources, and our people to once again become a beacon of light, to shine brightly for Jesus Christ all around the world. On May 26th, Memorial Day, we will celebrate those who have allowed our light to shine in years past, in honor of all servicemen and women who fought for this nation and made the ultimate sacrifice. Today, we continue the fight. However, it's a battle against misinformation, passivity, and what I refer to as historical amnesia. These battles are just as important as any we've ever fought. Our generation has the responsibility to protect the precious liberties that brave men and women have sacrificed to protect. Friends, with your help, we can protect them. God has given us the plan. One by one, we can do our part to take a stand for America. We are faithful to do what we can do. The Lord will be faithful to do what we can't, and bring healing to our land.
Amen.
Now that is, he's...
Just to kind of point out, I think there was a typo right there. I just looked it up. Memorial Day is May 25th this year, not May 26th. And it says May 26th in here.
Oh, yeah, it does. Sorry. Yeah, it is the 25th.
Just quick fact check.
Quick fact. Okay. Sorry about that. So he is promoting a book called Renewing the Soul of America, and it's by Charles Crismer, C-R-I-S-M-I-E-R. So Dave Meyer also has a book out about American history and things like that. So that's just a little bit. I just wanted to take our time to kind of read that and give us hope.
Right.
That's supposed to give us hope that we can turn our nation around. And
right.
We can take back our liberties. And we can put God back in school. And we can put God in control.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like he's been showing me, it's like the Israelites. You know, when he had his hand on them, they
right.
flourished. But when he removed his hand, they failed.
Right.
And then they would realize that, and then they would pray, "Oh Lord, we've you know sinned. Please come back to us." And he would put his hand on them. And it's just like you can see that in the Old Testament over and over and over again. But I feel God has really pretty much taken his hand off our nation, and because people are pushing him out,
right?
You know, they're standing up and saying,
well,
we don't believe in God. We want you to go away.
And not only that, but they're saying, take God out of our schools. Take God out of take the Ten Commandments out of the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
Take it off the walls. Take God out, take in God we trust off our money.
Uh-huh. They're openly saying, God, we don't want you.
And there was a person the other day, I don't want to say the name, but there was a candidate running for president that said the church needs to change their view on homosexual marriage.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That is a candidate we won't be voting for. But we can sit back and say this is wrong and we don't, you know, this shouldn't be happening and stuff like that. But we as Christians have the responsibility to take that step of faith,
right,
and join together. Stop squabbling about our little differences and issues, but come together as believers in Christ, you know, as people who are saved, and say, you know what? We're not going to stand for this. We need to rise up. And like you said, those beacons of light, I see our light shining. When Jesus looks down at us, when God looks down, he sees a little light shining mm-hmm. from our body. And he showed me before in some of my journals we've talked about how there's lights that are joining together and growing stronger. And then there's lights that are waning and falling out, you know, that are just turning off.
Right.
And we need to unite those lights. Because
right.
the more light we have, the less darkness we have.
That's right.
So, and darkness has to hide in the light.
Right.
So we need to get our lights together and come back and say no. You know,
right.
it's our responsibility to stand up for our country.
Right. Well, what does the little kid's song say? This little light of mine, yeah. I'm going to let it shine.
Yes. And we can be a beacon of light to all those around us.
Right.
You know, in our workplace, in Walmart.
Right.
And everywhere we go, if we are filled with the Spirit and we have the Holy Spirit surrounding us just in our presence, then we can touch people. And
right.
And it's just amazing how unstoppable we could be right. if we truly know who we are in Christ.
Right. And I think I talked about this a while back, but I was actually in Walmart one night with my son, with our son.
Thanks.
And I was sharing the gospel with a young man there. And this lady had no problem with it until I brought the name Jesus up.
Really?
And she went crazy. She said that I can't preach the gospel in Walmart, that she was going to get a manager if I didn't stop, and she was going to have me kicked out of Walmart. So what did I do? I kept preaching the gospel. I did not let that woman stand in my way of sharing the love of Jesus with that young man.
Yeah.
You know what she did? She went and got the manager. And I think she was thinking she was going to scare me out of stopping.
Mm-hmm.
But the manager came over. I said, so what, are you going to kick me out of Walmart now for preaching the gospel? And the manager's like, I don't know what's going on here. So, you know, I think she probably didn't tell him anything.
Uh-huh.
She just said, you need to follow me or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, long story short, you know, no, I didn't get kicked out of Walmart.
No.
But there are places where they will kick you out.
Yes.
You know, I remember going into a bar and dropping tracts to people and asking them if they wanted to hear about Jesus. And, yeah, the bartender didn't like that too much, so he did kick me out.
Physically?
But, no, not – well, he told me he had to leave.
Okay.
And you know, you can only push your luck so much sometimes.
Yeah.
So – but the people in there did get gospel tracts,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And you planted that seed, and
yeah.
who knows? Maybe somebody came by and watered it, and
right.
maybe those people are different people today.
And you don't have to have gospel tracts to go share the gospel.
No.
You know, it's probably better not to have gospel tracts sometimes.
Sometimes people are so used to gospel tracts now that they just don't even look at them. They're like,
yeah.
oh, that's just, you know, Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
But if you stop to talk to them, to show them the love and show them how it is,
mm-hmm.
then that makes a big difference.
If you are led by the Holy Spirit to go to a certain person, then you know that person's looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is probably ripe or mm-hmm. ready or has a heart ready just to hear
yeah.
the good news
mm-hmm.
of what Jesus has done. So mm-hmm. if you're led, that's what's so great about having the filling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We
like
went,
we
what,
talked
two
about.
Months on the Holy Spirit? A month and a half?
A month
like
and a half, something like that.
So if you haven't heard those, go back and listen to those on the archives from either our website or uturnradio.org. Our website is themessengersradio.com. You can go there and you can listen to all of our episodes there. You can email us directly through a contact page.
Yes.
And it'll go, once you send that, you submit that, on the page itself, it'll go to both Tricia and my email.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage you, if you have any prayer requests or anything to that, we'd love to hear from you. Tell
yes.
us what you think about the show, if you like it, if you don't like it, what you'd like to see changed. You know, we'll take it into consideration. Let the Holy Spirit lead us.
Yeah.
So, so where was I going with this?
The Holy Spirit being led,
yes.
being filled by the Holy Spirit, which we talked about, being filled and being just having the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When you get saved, you have the seal of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But you have to ask to be filled,
right.
and that's when you receive the power.
Now, when you become a believer, when you pray and receive Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit at that point, but you don't have the filling of it.
Right.
So that's what we went a month and a half talking about.
Mm-hmm.
About not only that, but about every aspect of the Holy Spirit. I think we covered it pretty well.
Yeah.
So,
but right now, we're talking about hope.
That's right.
So
Tricia has been writing. She talks about it all the time, but which I love. But she writes in a journal
mm-hmm.
almost every day.
Yes.
It's something that she's saying to God, and then what God's saying back to her.
Yes.
So there's quite a few over the past, I guess, this month,
mm-hmm.
talking about hope. There's several things that she would really like to get out of. With what she read these to me the other night.
Yes, I do want to do that. But first, you saw the other one. I want to talk about my hope journal.
Your hope journal. Okay. Okay.
So, we will get to that, I promise. Okay. But
sorry, I got excited.
I know. I have been told at the beginning of the year, or the end of last year, that you need to keep your goals. You need to set some goals and keep them in front of you. To write down, get a notebook and write down, you know, the goals that you want for that year. So starting at the beginning of the year would be good, but starting any time now is when you need to do it. But I took just a plain notebook, spiral notebook, and wrote down the top things that I wanted to see by the end of that year, last year. And this was like in November, I think, something like that. And so I wrote down those things that I wanted to see come. And so some of them did. Mm-hmm. Not all of them did.
Yet.
And that's fine. Yeah, because they will. And those I put on this year's goal list. But when I started talking about hope, when we started this month, last month actually, I was learning about hope, and God told me it's a hope and goal journal. Hmm. It's your goals, but it's really a hope journal. And we learned before that hope, the definition I love, is a confident, joyful expectation that something good is going to happen. So, so it is a hope journal because I confidently, joyfully expect those things to happen. God has placed these dreams in my heart, these seeds that I want, these goals. He's placed them in my heart. So now it's my turn to hope for them, confidently expect them. And every one of them is found in the Word, is grounded in the Word. And I have it right here. I wanted to show just some examples of what they are. Like,
and these are what you wrote back down yesterday, right?
I write them every day.
Day before yesterday. Okay, this was on the 21st.
Yes.
That you wrote.
Yeah, I wrote them today. I just, every day that I can. I actually went a week without it, and that was really, really weird. But
did it make you weak?
He tells me, you know, write them every day. And the lady that told me about it said that if you write something down for 30 days, you'll remember it. And what you have to do is write it down on a piece of paper. And the next day, flip over the paper and don't look back at what you wrote the first day. Just what you remember. And those things become, what you remember becomes the most important things, the most important ones to you.
And that's what's going to be coming out of your heart then at that point.
Yes. Yeah. And that's going to be your hope. So some of my hopes and goals for 2015 are to get closer to God and the Holy Spirit daily. That's something you can't measure, but it's something that I can tell is happening in me.
Right. You can feel that. You can see and feel the change itself.
Yes.
Right.
But it's not something you can see,
right,
you know, with your eyes. So another thing is I want to get closer as a family together, just the three of us, and all three of us to God together. Right. So, you know, I want to just get closer.
Right.
Closer
and
to
we're
God.
We're seeing that come to pass right now as well.
We are, yes. We're getting much better at that.
Yes.
Another one is to lead at least one person to Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and disciple them. That may seem like a low thing, like one person, but when you have nobody, you know, I just want at least one person that can truly know they are saved and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can disciple them and teach them, teach them, and then they'll teach others.
Right.
So I really am excited about that one.
But if you look at it, I mean, just about anybody can lead anybody to Christ.
Right.
That's what we're called to do.
Yes.
But do you just, what generally people do, they leave them there.
Yes.
And they don't tell them more. They don't follow through.
Uh-huh.
They don't tell them there's more to this than what you just said.
Yeah. And God told me before, he doesn't want to be used as an insurance policy.
Wow,
it's not just a, you know, believe in me and you won't go to hell. That's not what it's all about at all.
Right.
But yeah, we need to be discipling these
people.
They
need to know there's a relationship with the Father.
Yes.
There is repentance that they must do. There are things they need to turn their back on. And if they truly did receive the Holy Spirit in their heart or receive Jesus in their heart, those things that they've been doing, they're not going to want to do any longer.
Yeah.
There are so many things that I never thought I'd ever change. But when I first became a Christian, they changed.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize.
It's like, you know, even if you stop and think about it, it's like, what happened? I used to want to do that, and I don't want that anymore.
I used to curse like a sailor, man. And after I did that, it was like I didn't even come out of my mouth any longer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even my heart anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was delivered of that. And I didn't even ask to be.
Right.
And now, and now, when I hit my thumb or when I hurt myself or something, those words still don't come out.
Yeah.
Because out of the heart, right, out of the mouth comes what the heart, what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let's see. This is important. I want to live abundantly, spiritually and financially. And that doesn't mean flashy and overboard and
right.
stuff like that. Abundantly is God wants his people to prosper. He doesn't want Christians to live poor and in poverty and things like that. He loves his children.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to prosper just as we love our children as humans. And we want them to prosper. And so to live abundantly is to not live in need.
Right.
And to be prosperous. And it is spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, I want to live abundantly, have the abundant fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And
one of the things that is our heart is we want to not only live abundantly, but we want to be able to help others.
Yes.
With, you know, our heart are for other people, not just us. We want to be able to live comfortably.
Uh-huh.
You know, but not
have our bills
not
paid.
Have everything. We don't want to have everything, you know. We don't want to have all the latest technology gadgets. We don't care about that stuff as much.
Right.
We want to live comfortably and be able to use the extra to not only tithe to our church, but to give over and to help others.
To help others, yeah.
Yeah, if we could help, even if it's just helping somebody with a bill or with a house payment or with a car payment.
Yeah.
You know, to show them.
I want to do that so
yes,
bad.
Yes, I do too. Oh, man.
So
and we
want
to be able
heart.
To go out there and pay for somebody's house if they needed it.
And the most important thing about that is, you know, God says, don't let your left hand do what your right hand. No, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Right.
So we don't want to pay these bills to be like, yeah, I paid this bill. I must be good and holy.
Right.
It's not that. It's like, we want to help this person.
Right. And we
want
to do it for the glory of God,
yes,
not for our own glory.
Not for our own glory at
right.
all. No. And I personally, one of mine on here is I want to meet Joyce Meyer. So those are just some of my goals, but they're just everyday little things,
right?
You know, that are whatever's important to you. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a goal journal. It's a hope journal.
Amen.
So
right.
do you want to go to...
Yeah, let's look at Romans. Everybody get your Bibles out. And we're going to look at Romans 8:25. So let me know when everybody. Let me know when you're there. I can't see
okay.
you, so let me just speak up. Come on, speak up. All right. So we're going to be reading from Romans 8:25, and it says, "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently."
That's right. And I have in my journal something that God told me about that. Find my little sticker here.
So,
go ahead. Okay, he said, if you had everything, there would be nothing to hope for. Now you need to get your hopes up.
Amen.
So, if he just gave us everything all at once, there, you know, if we had everything, we wouldn't have to hope for it.
And I think a lot of people would just fall out.
Yeah.
Fall out of being a believer. Oh, well, God gave me everything I need. I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works, huh?
No.
Baby steps. That's what's so important, baby steps.
Yes, but taking that step of faith, you know,
right.
not just stopping in those baby steps.
Right.
But this is another thing he said to me. Hoping lets me work through you. If you have no hope, I cannot work in your life. I am bound by your lack of faith. So get your hopes up. Keep trusting and keep hoping. Hmm. That was really profound to me.
Yeah.
We bind God by what we believe. And mm-hmm. and without hope, he can't do anything for us.
Right.
He can't just jump in and say, hey, I'm going to take over your life.
Right. He'll never do that.
No, he won't.
And that's not the way he does it either.
He also said, this is another interesting one, I will never let you down. But to be let down means you must be up. So get your hope up. Dream big and hope big. And that was something really interesting to me I had never thought of. In order to be let down, you have to be up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have some hope. You have to have some faith. And God will never, never, ever let you down.
Right.
But you can't be let down from anything if you're not anywhere. If you're on the ground and you're not expecting or hoping for anything, you can never get anything.
Right.
Because you're already hopeless at that point. Let's see, a couple more here. This is just an interesting thing that he told me too. He died a physical death for a spiritual living.
That's for us, yeah.
Yes. I love that. I just love that.
Yeah.
A physical death for a spiritual living. Okay, one more here. This is I like this. This is what he has been talking to me about. But he just said, I was writing this and he just said, don't be a parrot, be a prophet. Say my words and do them on purpose. So don't just say what you hear, you know, yada, yada. You know, God is good. God is great. You know, I love God. I'm great. I'm a Christian. Don't be a parrot. Be a prophet. Say, you know what? God is good because he has done this in my life. Even if you just say, God is good because he sent his son to die on the cross for me. If that's all you know, then that's what you should be saying.
Right.
Because that makes you the prophet and not the parrot.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to have a song called My Hope Is In You by Aaron Schust. So I hope you guys enjoy this song, and we will be back in just a few.
Glory, hallelujah, Father, you're
And that was My Hope Is In You, Lord, by Aaron Shoust. It's a great song. We've been... Oh, here we go. Sorry. We've got some listeners out there we want to give a shout-out to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everybody listening right now from Killeen, Texas, and San Antonio, yes. Texas. Now, Killeen, Texas usually is people in the Wise County area.
Yeah.
We've kind of deduced that. And we've also got some listeners in Wichita, Kansas, and New York City. How are you guys doing? A big Texas howdy to y'all.
Howdy, y'all. But we are grateful for you listening, and yes. We hope that you're learning things from us.
And we hope.
We hope.
It's all about hope right now.
Confident expectations.
All right, so we got a couple of verses we want to look at real quick, and then we want to go into our descend. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about airplane terms, we're not really talking about it, but yeah, we're descending into receiving Jesus as your Savior and receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit, what we've been talking about. So real quick, let's look at two verses. We got 1 Timothy 4:10. You want to read that, Trisha?
Sure. This is Paul talking, and he was saying, "That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe."
Amen. So that was 1 Peter 4:10.
1 Timothy.
Timothy, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the next one. It's 1 Peter 1:3 is our next verse, and that says, "Praise to God for a living hope."
That was
the Amplified?
I think that was the beginning of the title for the next few verses.
Oh, okay. So this says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And that's where our hope is. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in what he's already done.
Yes.
He's already done everything he's ever going to do. God's already done everything he's ever going to do. We need to take the step of faith out and take the name of Jesus, the authority that has been given to us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to walk out the Great Commission as Jesus told us. We need to stand in the Word that says, where Jesus told us that we would do even greater things than he would. There's a verse, I think somewhere, I can't remember where it's at, but it says that all the miracles and things that Jesus did could not be contained in every book in the world.
If you wrote a book in every single book in the world, they could not contain everything that he did.
So think about that, everyone.
And we are going to do greater things than
if we know who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm. If we believe and have hope.
And if we know the authority we have in his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's that authority that like I said earlier, that we can rebuke that storm in Jesus' name and command it to be gone in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
It's the words. It's how the words come out of our mouth. Are the words coming out of our mouth life, or are the words coming out of our mouth death? We talked about that a while back, too.
That was our first month in January, the words of your mouth.
Right.
First five episodes. So if you're going by episodes, look up 1 through 5.
Right. So, all right. So, you know, what we've been talking about is hope this month. And I hope this is really, really touching your heart, because it's something that's on our hearts and something that we feel is important.
It is important.
The other thing that we feel is very important. Do you feel a tugging on your heart out there? Do you have something in your life that has not been, you haven't been able to fill it? You get a new car. You think that's going to help you out. A week later, it's just a car now.
Mm-hmm.
You get a new boat. You get more money. You know, you start getting all these different things, trying to fill the void that's in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people don't realize that that is a God-shaped void.
Mm-hmm. Only God can fill it.
God is the only thing that can fill that, exactly. So before we end our shows, if this is the first time you're listening, we always want to make sure if there's somebody out there that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, that has never asked him to be Lord and Savior of their life, we want to give them that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we do that? We receive and believe. We confess it with our mouth. So let me tell you this. I mean, right now, choosing to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the most important decision that you will ever make. You know, a lot of people out there will say, well, what's the meaning of life? You know, philosophers will say all these different things. They'll say this and that and the other. No, the meaning of life is where you're going to go after death.
Mm-hmm.
That if you want to boil it down, and some people will come up to me and say, that is not right. How do you know it's not right?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't like to debate people.
No.
You know, I really don't like that. You know, I really believe if you can point them to the Word, that should be all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people will still come against you.
Yes.
So let's look at this. So God's Word promises this. It's in Romans 10, 9 through 10, and we're also going to look at verse 13. Okay, so Romans 10, 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
Now let's skip down a little bit, and we're going to look at Romans 10, verse 13 as well. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
But
it's important to speak it with your mouth.
Yeah, you must say it out loud. Mm-hmm. You must
believe it in your heart.
Right. So it's by His grace. It's okay. It's by His grace that God has already done, like I said earlier, done everything to provide salvation. Your part is simply to believe and receive. Are you ready to believe and receive? Are you trying to fill a hole in your life that can only be filled by the Lord Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to fill that with other things and it's just not filling? I tried to fill it with so many different things myself. You know, I could tell you my testimony. I went through so many different things, but you know, I tried to fill it with all these different things, these worldly things,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that it was a God-shaped hole I was trying to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't fill a God-shaped hole with things of the world.
With anything else. Mm-mm.
So if you are ready to finally fill that God-shaped hole in your life and you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this out loud with me. I want you to say it after I say it. And you know what? You may be listening to it on your phone. You may be listening to it at work. You may be, I don't care where you're at. But it's important that you get these words out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
that the enemy can hear it. So I want you to pray this out loud. Say, Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And by faith in your word, I receive salvation now. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to know that very moment that you commit your life to Jesus, the truth in His word will instantly come to pass in your spirit. Now that you've been born again, that means that's a brand new you. But we don't want to leave it at just that.
Mm-hmm.
If you just prayed that, we want to know. We want to help you. We will send you books. We will send you scriptures. We will send. Mm-hmm. We will do whatever we can to help you grow. Mm-hmm. And understand about the decision you just made.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ready to do that, then I want to invite you to join. Go to our website, themessengersradio.com. Click on the contact button and tell us, you know, what just happened. Tell us if you felt anything different. You may not have felt anything different after you prayed that.
But that's okay because you said it and God honors that.
And don't let the enemy or anybody else try to talk you out of what you just stood on, what you just said with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some of you out there that have said that with your mouth, that have never asked the Holy Spirit into your life.
Which is the power.
Right. Well, this is for you, all right? We want to make sure that you're also filled because the Holy Spirit is something that we all need. Something he is someone that will help us through. He will help guide us in the things that we're doing in life and help us do what we need to do. So as His child, your loving Heavenly Father wants to give you this supernatural power to lead this life. So I want to look at Luke 11, verses 10 and verses 13. So Luke 11, verse 10 says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And if we drop down to 13, it says, if you, and we always say this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So many people think God is out there waiting for them to screw up, to thump them on the head, and to do bad things to them, and that is not who God is.
No.
God will not do that to you.
God is a God of love.
God loves you. He did not create you to go through all these bad things, to have all these bad things happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Sometimes we lose track of who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We turn away from God. We don't believe. We don't have hope.
Right. We become hopeless.
Right.
But, so, you know, we're going to go through trials, and that's just how it's going to be because right. we're in a world, you know,
right.
a sinful world. But God is right there beside us. And if you pray and ask him, he's not the one doing this, but he will help you through it.
Right.
He will be there the whole time.
Now, we have about 2 minutes left, so I want to get through this prayer real quick for receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit. So here's all you have to do. Just like you did if you prayed a minute ago. You need to receive the Holy Spirit right now if you did that, the filling. But all you have to do is believe and receive. So I want you to pray this after me. Say, Father, I recognize my need for your power to live this new life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. By faith, I receive it right now. Thank you for baptizing me. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Amen.
Amen.
And if you just prayed that, we want to help you also. We want to help you continue to learn, to grow. We want to disciple you. We want you to get involved in a church, if not involved in a church. Get involved in a good Bible-believing church.
Mm-hmm.
And grow. The main thing right now, if you just are a new believer, is you need to grow.
Grow.
You can't just stay, as we talked about, stagnant, as we mm-hmm. talked about earlier in the mm-hmm. beginning of the broadcast. You can't stay that way. You must grow. And just like some people will make a decision for Christ, and they'll be so excited, and then they'll just fall away
mm-hmm.
because they don't grow. They don't read the Bible daily.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go to a church. They don't have friends. They don't change who their friends are. They don't, you know, they don't share the gospel with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where people will fall away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we don't want.
No.
We don't want you to fall away. We want you to grow.
We want you to grow and thrive.
Right. So go to our website. We have about 15 seconds left, so go to our website, and we want to encourage you. Contact us.
Yes.
We want to help you. We'll send you out, you know, whatever we need to. So God bless everybody today. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Happy Memorial Day, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.